Thank you very much, Stuart. Thanks you all. Thank you to all of you for coming. Now, my colleagues have left me with quite a difficult task because I've got to now string all their arguments together, and I haven't seen any of their presentations beforehand, and try and make sense of it. But it is important. And I think one of the things that did come up from the discussions by Jan and James and Lena, so that we're talking about these massive issues of global governance, these challenges and, you know, legitimacy and accountability and transparency in different forms and modes of governance, and, you know, are they suited for purpose? Is the financial crisis a failure of global governance? Is the climate crisis a failure of global governance? And one thing I must say before we, you know, sort of go into talking about crisis and global governance is that actually, by and large, the mechanisms of global governance works in our everyday life. You know, we don't think about them, but they do work. We wouldn't have air travel. And that sort of concentration that we have today, if it weren't for international regulations on air travel, postal services, you know, shipping lanes don't run smoothly if we didn't have mechanisms for global regulation of these processes. eBay, you know, you purchase something from, you know, some supplier in the US, you're buying, you know, a CD player. For it to be shipped, transported, for you to pay the money through the internet, for it to come here, arrive at your doorstep, you know, these things are a result of effective structures of regulation and governance. So they can work. So I just wanted to start on that positive note before we go into sort of the more critical challenges. All these issues that my colleagues mapped out, the different forms of global governance, the legal, political institutions, the non-formal modes of regulation, non-traditional form of governance, we, you know, the effectiveness, the efficacy of the frameworks of global governance, questions of accountability and leadership, all these questions on who rules the world and on what terms, they matter and they become more urgent when we look at the challenges facing the global community today. And we are a global community. It's no use pretending otherwise. I mean, all of us, our consumption, our production patterns, how we work, how we live our lives, what shoes we buy, what television programs we watch, these are all intimately connected with lives of people who live outside the territorial borders that we reside in. And they have an impact on the geographical, the ecological, the social systems that are beyond our current location. So I'm sure that none of you will deny that we are living in exceptional times, that we are beset by multiple crises, ecological, we've got climatic crises, financial crises, health epidemics, questions of security, including biosecurity, questions of nuclear security, food, energy. You know, sometimes I don't even want to switch on the news. I mean, you have the issue, you know, the news of the Spain's downgrade, stock markets crashing, you know, the, you know, toothpaste causing cancer, that sort of, you know, it's sort of bad news on a daily basis, but it is. These are the challenges that are facing us as, you know, a modern society, and we ignore them at our peril. And these are the issues that we have to tackle as a global community because they are trans-border, they are transnational in nature. And as a global community, we need a framework of global governance to tackle them. We need platforms of global governance where we can develop proper systems to prevent crises from happening. So through the development of rules of conduct, of behavior for international actors, political actors, economic actors, states, and as Lena and James pointed out, non-state actors as well, civil society actors. And we need a framework for enforcing those rules, for implementing them, for settling disputes between international actors when these rules are not adhered to. So we need systems of global governance. We need a framework by which we can design as a global community and negotiate solutions to the global crisis so that we can tackle crisis of multiple forms in not just an effective and efficient manner, but also in an equitable manner. So that the burden of adjustment to crisis is shared by communities equally, and that the risks and the benefits of our globalized economy, our global dependence on the global atmospheric space, don't accrue to one segment of the global community over another. So that, for example, those of us living in the West don't eat up all the carbon footprint, leave a larger carbon footprint than, you know, people who live in sub-Saharan Africa. So what I mean is that global governance regimes, in addition to providing the architecture for crisis prevention, for crisis resolution, whether they're financial crises or food crises or energy crises, we must make sure that their outcomes are also fair, that the regulatory processes, the regulatory outcomes are fair, so that not one set of global actors or global communities, such as financial market creditors, gain at the expense of another set of stakeholders, pensioners, taxpayers, students, recipients of social welfare, children. So when we design the rules for governing responses to crisis, we should also make sure that not only are crises resolved effectively and efficiently, but also equitably. In this manner, we shouldn't also say to developing countries, particularly low-income developing countries, who have contributed very little to ecological crisis or global warming, that they should cut as much emissions as industrialized countries, okay, or communities which generate a much heavier carbon footprint in general. So at the same time, we need mechanisms at the global level to redress some of these inequities, which are a crisis in itself. Global inequality is a crisis. It's a global crisis that's affecting millions of people around the world. And the wealth gap will just get bigger and bigger if we don't do something about it. So we do need redistributive mechanisms at the global level to deal with this. So in terms of global governance, what we should really think about are some important questions when we're looking at this from the perspective of crisis, from the perspective of the challenges that we face as a global community. And I sort of thought of perhaps, you know, three sort of main areas of questions that we might want to think about. Firstly, are the current institutions and frameworks of global governance fit for purpose in terms of dealing with the uncertainties of the world today? Are they adequately designed in terms of their mandate, their constitutional authority, their political representativeness, as Lino mentioned, to deal with the challenges that we face as a global community today? And if not, how can we make things better? So looking across traditional and non-traditional forms of governance. And secondly, have we got the correct institutions? Have we got the right processes, the right frameworks, the right institutions, the right organizations to deal with the uncertainties, with the challenges of today's world? Are there challenges that we might face in the future that are not, you know, thought of? Can we fortune tell what is going to happen? I mean, have we got new challenges such as bioterrorism, cyber terrorism, that we're not yet developed efficient transnational institutions to deal with? So can we tell what the future holds and sort of develop systems to cope with, you know, any changes that we might encounter? And finally, when we talk about global governance, as Lina also mentioned, we also need to speak of local governance, of domestic governance. If we're moving towards a global community, do we now need to engage with something beyond just national politics? Now, how do we reconcile sort of national, entrenched domestic interests with that of a global community? And to put aside sort of these domestic squabbling, because we have much bigger international and global issues to tackle. So I'd like to sort of end on a more positive note, which I started, and that is that, you know, global governance can work, and that's you know, you have to believe in it. And I remember I used to work as a civil, you know, as part of an NGO, doing sort of advocacy and policy work about a decade ago, and we were at one of these summits, and one of the slogans of this sort of civil society group was "Another world was possible." And I think, you know, I do believe that, and you know, the sort of the optimist in me would like to see, you know, things being sort of, the glass being sort of half full rather than half empty. And I do believe that you know, we can sort of shape and change global governance institutions and make it possible, because another world is possible, or another regime of global governance is possible. Thank you.